It is 12:57 p.m., May 16th, 2017. I now know that I am supposed to move to Austin, Texas. I can say it in somewhat of a joking but serious manner. I now know my worst nightmare has come true. I have not wanted to go to Texas at all. I stood strongly against it a few months ago when Texas just started showing up everywhere. I made a recording about how much I was resisting it. I cried out to God about it, and I chalked it all up to perhaps this is just the devil's distraction or I'm being tested. And it was in the face of me being shown so strongly, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, and now it's as if that's been torn up, ripped apart, and it's no longer there, and now God's calling me to go to Texas. And of course, I have no idea what's going on in God's mind on these things or what his purposes are, but over the last few days, it's been Texas, 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 like big time confirmations. Yesterday, I worked at Winchester, so the day before I'm at Starbucks is when I had the incident where the one car you can see pulls up right in front of my computer, Texas license plate, and then it has 1514. Jared and I both, almost within seconds of each other, find John 1514. I'm about ready to text it to him, decide to go to the book of Acts to see Acts 1514, and he texts me John 1514. You are my friends if you do what I command. And I'm like, wow, that is a spiritual confirmation. And you know, I have to just give a praise to God, my Father, for what he's done in my brother to see, as we have seen multiple times, the Spirit moving. And you know, this is really interesting because right now I'm having a flashback to a moment when he and I were standing in the tiny house. We had just gotten over some difficulties. So there was an offense that had been spoken, and we really kind of got open and raw and transparent with one another. And we had been praying about this particular property in Texas and about being able to live together and go there together. And we were so excited. We both had seen 929 that morning when we were in prayer. According to your faith, it will be to you. And we both were just like, yes, God's going to do this. We believed it. And I said, I believe this. God's going to do this. And of course, now we see they left and went to Austin without us in accordance with God's will. God held me back, did something really weird, put the brakes on, started showing me New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand, New Zealand. I get contacted from a radio station after praying about God, you're going to have to move on somebody's heart there to get me a religious worker visa. This all, you know, this happens. It's totally impossible. You know, my friend's having dreams about us being in New Zealand. I've got this guy in New Zealand who's contacted us, who's just, I've fallen in love with him. He's in love with us. And he keeps saying in all of his recordings, brother, come to New Zealand. Man, I've been praying that God would let you come to New Zealand. But, you know, I know God probably won't answer my prayers and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Having no idea that behind the scenes, I'm making plans to go to New Zealand. I'm studying about it, learning about it, waiting on God to open the door and selling the tiny house. I've come so close to selling the tiny house two times. Both times it fell through at the last minute. And then everything went away with the tiny house. Everything went away with New Zealand. And I'm just sitting and God's telling me, finish the work, finish the work. In the process, my marriage has deteriorated to the point where my wife tells me she doesn't think she's going with me. She thinks that the, quote, spirit is calling her now to her mission, that our marriage was all just temporary. It was a season, that now it's she's got to step into this new calling she has. I have watched my wife descend into levels of darkness and carnality that I would have never in a million years imagined that my wife could have done so. I could have never imagined the conversation I would have just had with my wife last night, and I'm not even going to repeat it in respect of my wife's honor, if there's any of it left whatsoever, but last night, the conversation that she and I had yesterday about what her big problem is right now, I wanted so badly to look at her and say, my goodness gracious, what a failure is your new religion. Where is Buddhism and the power of peace and enlightenment in your heart? Where is Hinduism and moksha and all of the self-realization and the observer and the internal peace and enlightenment now? You've dropped from being a once I can give up everything, including marriage, for this Christ who am I betrothed to, who I love, who loves me. I've known this love I've never known before. This was my wife's own testimony that she found fullness in Christ. He was her everything. She was his everything, so forth and so on. And as it should be, and now she's dropped into such a level of depravity that she's fretting over things that godless people fret over. She has zero grace from the Lord Jesus Christ, and Buddhism and Hinduism, all of a sudden now that she's having a crisis, is doing nothing for her, and I praise God for it. She's finding out that Jesus Christ alone can give you grace in these areas, and she's suffering in a miserable way in a particular area, and God is allowing it, and I just thank God for it. You know, I had to be really afflicted to hear this. It was very painful. She twisted some things. Of course, the devil always does. So it ended up being that her affliction, she's trying to put it off on me. She's in so much pain. She's trying to give me some of that pain, but I'm not taking it. I took it for a few minutes. I walked out of the room, and today I went and told her again. I said, hey, are you doing okay? I just want you to know I love you, okay? And look, I'm going to be moving to Texas. You're more than welcome to come with me. If not, you know, I'm sure my parents will let you stay here for as long as you want. You can talk to them and work that out with them. I talked with my mom. My mom said, absolutely, she can stay here as long as she wants. So basically, Texas has been literally triple confirmed. I had the most remarkable thing happen this morning. I took pictures of this. So after the other day, when I went to Starbucks day before yesterday, saw that 1514 Texas license plate, then that day's devotional was about Abraham obeying immediately. And so that night, after seeing the 1514, I felt the fear of God had come upon me. And I said, God, I don't want to disappoint you. I can't do anything laying here in bed, but I feel like I need to obey somehow immediately. So what I did is I immediately went on to the website where my tiny house is listed. I pulled down the ad, the for sale ad, and I removed from YouTube, which was a private video linked only to that ad, I removed the tour video that I put up. And from there, yesterday I went back to work, I finished today part 21 of Walking with God into the Impossible, Trusting God's Sovereignty. So I finished that program, and actually I've also all day yesterday worked on the newest program, The Apostate Bride of Christ, which is me telling through journal entries the story of my wife's falling away, and I currently have 11 entries up already on that for people to begin to listen to. And so I'm blessed. I'm working hard. The work is just going really, really well, in my opinion now. I've got some momentum in spite of the fact that I've been having such a rough time and difficult time with my poor wife, with what she's been going through and our marriage and the suffering thereof. But I've also noticed that when this happens and God gives that separation between us, I get a tremendous amount of work done. It's kind of like that scripture, those of you who are married should live as if you're not. And sometimes when we're, you know, having a fuss on something or come to a big time difference, it's as if we're not married. And I throw myself headlong into the work of Christ. And then at some point we kind of reconcile back in peace. And not that we're not out of peace, but we at least call a truce, if you will, and begin to communicate with one another. But today I show up, I'm going to go to Winchester Road Starbucks. At the last minute I decide, no, I'm going to just go to airport this morning. So I pull up into my spot, look in my rearview mirror, catch a glimpse of a Texas license plate. The only car sitting on the other side of the parking lot is a Texas license plate. So I get out, I take a picture from the rear left fender of my car, capturing it, and the picture with the Texas license plate across the way. So then I go sit back down and go inside. I order my coffee. I'm sitting in one table waiting for another guy to move out of a spot I want. And before I even get my coffee, this is how close timing this was. I sit down in that spot I want and look, and there are two new Texas license plates sitting right beside each other, right outside my window. I took a picture of this. That's three Texas license plates at that Starbucks in less than 5 to 7 minutes. And two of them were side by side just out the window where I was sitting. And I said, okay, Lord, this is enough confirmation for me. I will, and I had asked the Lord to confirm it. Well, that's confirming it. And so I decided, okay, Lord, I'm going to step forward in the next step. I called Doug. I said, hey, Doug, turns out I'm going to Austin on my way to New Zealand, I guess. And so I'm going to take the house. Need you to get the siding fixed for me. Why don't I work out a time for you to come pick up the home, leave it at your place for a couple of weeks until I know where I'm going. He wrote me back, texted me back rather with a voice message saying, why don't we leave the house where you're at till you find a place in Austin, then we'll drag it over here and do it all in one step without even taking it off the truck. In other words, pick it up from our storage unit, take it to Doug's, fix the siding, and then be able to trailer it without taking it off the trailer straight to Austin once I know where it's going. And I said, sounds like a good plan to me. So the next thing I can do to move forward is to begin looking for a place. So I have no idea where I would go, and Persis and I don't have a place that we can live really there. Jared is living at the only place that we know of, that where we have a friend and an open door and a free place to stay. So he's still not living in his tiny house. And this brings me back to the thought that I had in the very beginning of this recording, where Jared and I were talking together in our tiny house, my tiny house, believing the 929 for a great place to go with our tiny houses, and it looked impossible. Because he went in one direction, I went in the other, and we both, he even just said it a few recordings ago. He goes, you know, Mike, he goes, I kind of believed that there was a real good chance we would never see you again. And I said, brother, I told Persis the same thing, that we may, I may never see you guys ever again. And now here it is. It's very possible his tiny house is still sitting in storage. They have not found a place. They kind of know the area, but the place that they're supposed to have their tiny house on has not opened up yet. Somebody else still has their home on it. And if it opens up, I am not sure of the possibilities, but it may be a possibility that Persis and I can put our tiny house on that property as well, and that we end up living in a nice property together, and it was according to our faith that we end up back together. I mean, that would be a remarkable testimony, just amazing. That we obeyed God, went in separate directions, obeyed God, and he brought us back together and put us where he told us he would to begin with, that didn't look like he would do it all. So I'm really just pretty amazed by that, the fact that I'm even going to Austin. So I thought what I would do today, because there's really nothing else for me to do, I've come out to pray, but the next thing I could do in order to keep trying to move forward is to find a place. I don't feel God has asked me to do what Jared and Kristen have done, where he kind of asked them to go before they knew where they were going to have a place to put it. And I know that that was a kind of a good opportunity for him to test their faith, and they did, and he did. And so, but with me, I think that God is not calling me to move out yet until I actually know where we're going to put the house. I need to secure at least an RV place, and probably not even that. I think, you know, to go spend a bunch of money on rent, doesn't make sense. So I have that. That I'm just trying to move forward with what I can, and I'm praying. I'm like, God, open up a door. While I was praying, I saw 555 and 515, both of which, you know, your prayer's been heard. I saw the prayer's been heard, and then you'll be delivered. I saw those back to back. So, but I know that God will provide. God will provide. We sold basically everything we have with the exception of the tiny house and some clothes. That's it. We really have virtually nothing. We even sold some, you know, I think we maybe, I don't know if we sold our rice cooker or what, but there'll be some things that we'll need to buy. Like, we don't even have chairs to sit in, you know, outdoor chairs. We sold everything. So unfortunately, you know, but that's okay. We're light. We'll travel light there. And so I don't know, you know, God could turn this whole thing around right now. I'm moving to Texas because I've been seeing these Texas license plates like everywhere and feeling called in the devotion and feeling the inner sense of witness that I'm to do this. It seems kind of crazy. There's a part of me that's been hoping that, you know, God would show up and an email would come in from New Zealand. It was funny. I thought of New Zealand this morning, and then not even 45 seconds after I thought about it, the recording I was listening to of a book called How We Know God Answers Prayer, the lady speaks of a woman from New Zealand who sent them a check in China. And I'm just like, what's that about, Lord? But You know, I also know that I've had a huge release in my heart to be back with Jared and Kristen, whereas I knew for a while that door was closed, they needed to go on by themselves. Now I'm feeling not only the open door, but I'm feeling a desire. Like I have a desire to be back with them. And I mean, Jared and I are clearly doing ministry work together, and I know of no one who knows God and is obeying Him like Jared is. He's the most mature Christian believer I know right now. Now, his faith is having to be tested. He doesn't have those years of experience of it being tested. But he's proving to me and proving to God that he is willing to continue to walk in faith, not just one time. Not just, you know, leave your house, you know, and go to Alabama, leave your career. But now he's willing to move to, you know, Austin. He's willing to take a job, not get a job. He's willing to move and do whatever God asks him to do. So he has a heart and a will yielded to God. That's powerful. And it's being proven. So, and I see him, it feels like he's growing as far as I can discern from his text. He's growing in his strength, growing in his understanding, growing in his resolve to stand for true teaching and stuff. So I'm excited about that. And I'm, you know, honestly, I thought the other morning, I was like, God, it would be nice to have a strong little Christian family to go through what we're getting ready to start going through more and more in this world. Because this world is absolutely going to hell. And hell is coming to it. That's a better way of putting it. And so I just told the Lord I'd be so excited about that and be blessed by that. And I think Jared and Kristen both feel the same way. And now I only don't know, I don't even know if I'm going with my wife or not. And I've still held her loosely. I've told Father it's so easy for him to turn her around. I often say with a dream. I found out this morning in this missionary recording that often happened in China missions, that men, when the missionaries would come in and pray, men would be given dreams and they'd be terrified, or they'd see somebody trying to help them and it was the missionaries. And so, you know, my wife, man, God needs to send her some kind of a powerful dream to shake her up out of this, because she is just so totally not the person she used to be. She's terribly, terribly gone and lost. It's horrible. Just horrible. So I am having no idea if I'm going with or without my wife. But I'll know when I get there. I'll know when I get there. And I'm going no matter what God asks me to do. And I've been hoping that this will be a part of the crisis that she maybe faces, and she's able to see that her false spirituality is not able to keep her in this difficult time of crisis like she thought it was going to. That only Jesus Christ can do this. So I'll see as I just wait and wait for God to act in my behalf and on her behalf. And I also did pray. I did pray. I said, Lord, I don't hardly ever pray for you to relieve me of my suffering. I said, you know, I'm mostly praying for other people. God help my mom. God help my wife. God help whatever, whatever, whatever. And I said, Lord, I'm asking you to relieve me from this suffering of living with a wife who I love so much, who just doesn't love me. That is, you know, it's like, that is tough. That is tough. You know, Jesus has a part of his bride that truly loves him. Most of them are in heaven, and there's people scattered all over the earth. So there is a part of them that really, really love him. They finished what they started, and they overcame, and they grew in their love for him, and they love Jesus so much. And he now knows what it feels like to be loved and adored by his bride. And you know, I'm looking at this and I'm going, okay, Father, if you want this to be a type and a shadow of what the bride of Christ is, I said, God, bring her to that place again where she can love me again. You know, Lord, let me have this, be free of the suffering of having a wife who, as of right now, She's so non-committal to me that she doesn't even know if she's going with me where I'm going. She won't ever even give me a clue as to, well, yeah, I've been thinking, or she doesn't say anything for months regarding either going to New Zealand or Austin. Whenever it comes up, she never says anything. And I just walk away going, wow, I have a bride who's so disconnected from me. And to have the gall, to have the spiritual ignorance and the carnality to talk to me about her big problem that she's having right now, that she spoke to me about yesterday evening, is so shocking and so just, oh, it's pathetic. There's no other word to describe it. It's absolutely pathetic to see how much she has descended. And you know, she can't see it. She cannot see it at all. So I didn't dare say anything to her. I just let her get it all out. And I just apologized for what I felt I needed to apologize to her for, to let her know that I had hurt her. And yet I look at this and I just go, my goodness gracious. You know, God might be going, you haven't seen anything yet. She may be going lower than this. I have no idea. But it was horrible and it was hurtful to me. Man, my wife has been used to hurt me. Wow, has she hurt me. My goodness gracious. You know, even as a spiritual man of God, she has hurt me so much. Unlike my ex-wife, you know, where we were both, you know, I was very carnal and ignorant and she was just plain wicked. She still is. She's one of those that was born only to be caught and destroyed, apparently. I mean, that's just the way it looks. And I prayed for her for years and she just only got worse and worse until I just felt no need to pray for her anymore. And but I'm still praying for my wife and fighting the good fight and trying to capture all of this. And it's, wow. Well, now I'm going to spend some time just resting and probably going back to work. I have been working so hard on doing these recordings that God has had me do, and I'm very, very thankful for it. Very thankful that Father has given me this time to finish this work. And, you know, whether Persis stays, comes, or goes, I will be able to say, you know, that I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do one day. And I'm very, very happy and thankful for that. So that'll be it for now. I wait now for God to open up a door in Texas. I need Father to move and open up a place and guide my steps so that we have a place to take our tiny house to go do whatever it is He's calling us to do in Texas. And as I end this, it's 1:22.